after a long passage 2 weeks back, Sam had the privilege of reading just four verses. But in fact, actually last night I was thinking that maybe I want him to read also the whole 17 verses. But yeah, this morning we're going to talk about Jesus, the healer. And I know you have heard this quote being said once, but that is beautiful in so many ways, simple and yet profound. It says that some people can be cured, but everyone can heal. And I think when you look at scriptures, in a way, that's also very true. Right? We know that we are now in an age, the church age, where we know that at the end of the day, yes, God can heal and God can cure. Amen? And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at scriptures and see, we thank God that Jesus can both cure and heal. And yet many times in life and in the expression of that, we know that sometimes has his own good purposes and will. Why sometimes things can't be cured, right? Or maybe, but we have this wonderful promise and make sure of it, that there will come a time that we will be in a place where all sicknesses and diseases will be gone forever. Amen? But until then, we live in a broken world, in a sinful world, where even Christians can also have diseases, sicknesses, right? And so some people cannot be cured, but everyone can heal. But we thank God that Jesus can do both. Amen? As he wills and as he pleases. The first part of the Gospel of Matthew introduced us to Jesus as Messiah and King. We preached that on the genealogy 3 weeks back. Now, it ended with these words in chapter 4 because, you know, we're doing a book series as well in the book of Matthew. And we know that the first week or the first, at least on the outline, we can see that the first part of, you know, having Jesus being King and is the Messiah is that it starts with chapter 1 and 4. Now, chapter 4, verse 23 to 25, and we'll just focus on verse 23. It ended with these words. When Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And so this is, in a way, Matthew setting us up for what is to follow in his book. And so we can see that in chapter 5, which, you know, our preacher also preached on chapter 5, we can see that Matthew showed us Jesus teaching in and preaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And so that's the proclaiming part. And then now we come to chapter 8, verse 13, where we will preach on chapter 8 as a start of that, at least pericope, illustrates Jesus' power and compassion through healing and miracles. Now, again, very quickly, the outline that we have, and this is also what we're doing in our book study on the Gospel of Matthew, the King has come, the Kingdom Manifesto, and now we are in the King's power and compassion, and so we're going to preach on Matthew chapter 8. So the King's power and compassion, when we study this, so I hope that you stay after service and join us in our book study so we can all together study more chapter 8 to chapter 13. Now, Matthew emphasizes Jesus' miracles and healings, displaying his divine authority over nature, disease, demons, and of course, he discussed also about the parables of the kingdom of heaven, right? And so Matthew 8 to 1 to 17 depicts Jesus like Moses coming down from heaven, from the mountain. Remember, he just had a time of, you know, he was giving the sermon on the mount. And so after chapter 5, you know, again, this is a good reminder for us that Matthew is not necessarily doing a chronology here. Remember, different gospel writers would have different purpose in how they collate the events in Jesus's life. And so for Matthew, you know, he sets this up with themes that he feels that, you know, this is one who wants the people through, of course, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so from the mountain, Jesus now comes down, right? After proclaiming the good news, teaching them about the sermon, he comes down like Moses. Remember Moses coming down from Mount Sinai? And then to the crowds wielding authority and power over sickness and disease. Now he heals a leper in this, at least in this pericope, when we see from verses 1 to 17, right? In fact, there are four healings there. Now that's not the only healing in chapter 8 to 13, but he started off with this wonderful, magnificent introduction on how Jesus is really the healer. And so he heals a leper, which we will be, you know, expositing this morning, then a paralytic servant of a centurion, then Peter's mother-in-law of fever and many others with various sicknesses, and delivered those oppressed by demons. Now, these are inescapable proof that Jesus is truly the Messiah, the healer, his mission, and his person. Now, four sets of people, we're going to discuss that maybe later on, more on the book study. But the people had the honor of being healed by Jesus' remarkable power, authority, and compassion. Again, the leper, the paralytic servant. Now, interesting, because these different healings have different aspects. The leper was healed because of his faith. The paralytic servant was healed because of his master's faith. So interesting, right? It's the centurion's faith. And then again, this is very consistent with Matthew. Remember, although he was talking to a Jewish audience, but there's a lot of shocking things that he's writing here to at least jolt the Jewish people and telling them that, you know what, remember, even in the birth of Jesus, the first witnesses were shepherds, outcasts, and the Magi, Gentiles. Here, he's actually giving again the same thing. Leper, outcast. Centurion, Roman centurion, is actually a Gentile. And yet his faith, in fact, in this whole pericope, Jesus was actually highlighting the faith of the Roman centurion. He said, whoa, if only you can find such faith here in Israel. And he was actually praising the Gentile centurion's faith. Right? And so Peter's mother-in-law, interestingly, nothing is even mentioned about if it was Peter's faith or if it was Peter's mother-in-law's faith. But it's just that when Jesus saw him, that Peter's mother-in-law was sick, Jesus healed her. And of course, many others, various in every diseases that you can imagine. Hallelujah. Amen. And so can Jesus heal every disease, any disease? Amen. He can. And I think if there's one thing that we should not forget about that this morning, is as simple as that, is that Jesus is truly the healer. Now, for various oppression of demon possession, of course, it's not something maybe physical, but it's something spiritual. And so the leper here, when Jesus came down from the mountainsides, now by this time, Jesus is starting to become very popular. Large crowds followed him. So whenever Jesus goes from this point, he was already very popular. A man with leprosy came, knelt before him and said. And so most likely, we are not told in the passage, even the leper already heard about Jesus. He knew that Jesus can do, you know, signs and wonders and heal people. And so he took it upon himself that he said, if there's somebody who could do something for me, that would be him. And so when the leper came to Jesus, he came down and knelt before him. Now, just very quickly, I don't want to bore you with the details, but we thank God that leprosy today, there are still lepers today, but it's not as if it's not curable. In fact, when a leper is now under treatment or has started antibiotics, the person cannot be contagious anymore. In fact, it has been studied that it's not highly contagious, right? And so, but the term leprosy, including the related words leper, lepers, plural, singular, even leprosy, leprous, occurs 68 times in the Bible, 55 times in the Old Testament, the Hebrew charat. That's the word, although it does not specifically just refer to Hansen's disease, which we now call as leprosy, it could actually also be referred to any skin diseases. But the worst of all is Hansen's disease, which is most likely, like in the old, in the New Testament, leprosy as we call it today. So in the New Testament, it's called lepros or lepra. Now in the Old Testament, leprosy most likely meant an assortment of infectious disease. But again, it can even include mild or mold on clothing and walls. So it's kind of like broad in its meaning. The precise meaning, at least in scriptures, of leprosy is both in the Old Testament. It's not that clear, really, because again, it covers a broad range of skin diseases. But again, as I mentioned, Hansen's disease, that refers to modern-day leprosy, most likely and most probably is the one that is referred here. Now, interestingly, the name Hansen's disease was only coined at least recently in the last 200 years, but it has terrified humanity's civilization since the 600 BC. India, in China, and in Egypt, at least known and recorded this kind of skin diseases, right? And so if a person in Jewish context, that's why you should understand that even in the ancient world, when a person has leprosy, wow, right? And of course, it's not yet advanced medicine and science, and so there's a lot also of paranoia in that, and also a lot of unknowns. But basically, they're considered unclean, and if you have leprosy, it's almost as if, yes, you are not bodily exiled. Remember, of course, the Jewish people went to exile, remember, in the Old Testament. But if you have leprosy, it is as if you are exiled from the community. And actually, in fact, if you have leprosy, it is almost like you have already, like, death in your forehead, so to speak, right? And so Jesus, by being approached by the person, actually violated social norms when he approached Jesus. And so can you imagine if maybe these were the priests and these were the Pharisees that the leper approached, he could have heard an earful, right? He could have even been condemned. And yet we can see here again, see the compassionate Messiah. Hallelujah. Amen. The compassionate Messiah. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. In Leviticus 13, verses 45, anyone with such a defiling, again, if you want to know more about leprosy, you can find there in Leviticus 13. If you have time, you can read that, get to know more about the Word of God. 13 is where leprosy is defined, and then chapter 14 is where, what should happen if you've been healed. So later on, that's why this is what Jesus will tell the leper, to go and show yourself to the priest. And that is in chapter 14 also in Leviticus. So everything is spelled out very clearly in the Old Testament about what to do if you have leprosy. And so in 45 here, you can see, just get a feel, and the idea is that anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face. This is interesting. Science now has revealed that the mode of transmission of leprosy is airborne droplets. So even before science knew that, the scriptures is telling the leper to cover the lower part of the face. Hallelujah, right? Airborne, not highly contagious, but consistent exposure. Especially, usually this happens when you are with family, right? If a family member has leprosy, and then, especially if the mother, the daughter, and of course wanted to care. So that's why usually close contact and prolonged contact with a leper, you might get leprosy by airborne droplets. So, and cry out unclean, unclean. So can you imagine that? The shame even. So when you have leprosy, you have even to say, you have even to cry out unclean, unclean. Wow. Can you imagine that? Telling people that you are unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. So it's like forever unclean. So imagine the stigma. So they must live alone. Wow. We talk about that today when there's so many people who live alone. You can even be alone in a crowd. But this one is both literally. So imagine the anguish of the soul that the person must leave alone. They must leave outside the camp. Wow. And so that's why maybe sometimes you would see it's like literally the outcast. And so can you imagine lepers would be living outside of the camp, and so maybe they will have their own small group of lepers. Yeah. So they will be outcasts of society. So again, I already mentioned this, spread airborne. It's not highly contagious. Once antibiotics have started, the transmission stops. Now the leper, now interestingly, now I want us to focus on the leper. The leper came, sought out Jesus, and knelt before him and asked to be made clean. Now, interestingly, he did not want to be healed, as it were. Right? Interesting, because why? For him, being cleansed is more important than just healing. In fact, he wants both. Right? It's not just a disease to be, but he knows that when he is cleaned, he would also be accepted back into society. He can live again with them, right? But he showed great faith and humility in Jesus' power to heal if he wills. And I like that word, if you will. And I think that's a beautiful, humble attitude when we come before the Lord. Of course, in a sense, I know sometimes we are confident also in the promises of God. But it's also in humility that we ask that, Lord, if you will, can you provide this? Amen? Lord, if you will, can you take this thorn on the flesh like Paul? And yet God did not take away the thorn, of the flesh of Paul. And that's why Paul appreciated it more, because why? It reminds him to be humble before God. And so it's always good to see that sometimes in life, we go through life and there are difficulties. Sometimes God doesn't really take away because he wants us to learn. And always remember this, brothers and sisters and friends, the only way for faith, listen to this, the only way for faith to grow is to be tested. There's no other way. No other way for faith to grow except for to be tested. And so sometimes it's always good to see that even sicknesses, diseases, and whatever trials and challenges that we face in life, we should always look at the brighter side, so to speak, knowing that God has his purpose and plan. But remember, testing is always to bring you and I up. Amen? To help us grow. But remember, temptation is different. Temptation is to bring you down. That's why in the book of James, James said, do not ever say that God tempts you, because God never tempts, but God tests. Amen? The testing of God is always good, because we can always learn from that. That's why I really love what John Maxwell wrote in his book. He said, it's either we win or not lose. He crushed out the lose and said, it's either we win or learn. So there's, in a sense, there's no losing in life. Amen? It's either we win or we learn from it. Right? And we know that the greatest tragedy in life is not failure. The greatest tragedy in life is not learning from failure. Amen? And so here, we digress a bit, but the act of kneeling shows total surrender and recognition of Jesus. He knows Jesus can heal. But with humility, he comes before the Lord and says, Lord, if you have mercy on me, and if you will, right? Just look upon me with compassion. If you will, Lord, will you heal me? Again, I already mentioned this, but there is worse than disease or sickness. And for this leper, it's not just the disease. It's all the stigma. Brought an awful social shame and stigma. Again, in ancient cultures, even around, not just the Jews, they would also look at leprosy as either a divine curse, a punishment from God, or due to sin and impurity. So it's the burden is all on the person who had leprosy. And so imagine that kind of a burden that a leper brings as he lived life in society. Right? That's why we thank God. Right? Many of the leprosarium and all the people that takes care of, this world is a much better place when you study history, is because of Christianity. Amen? Christians were in the forefront of taking care of lepers. The first leprosarium, the first hospitals have always been because of the love of God's people to care for these people. Amen? And so in the New Testament, we can see a different shift, and this is why Jesus showed us and Jesus paved the way for us, that we care for these people as well. The request to be made clean indicates an intense desire to be restored to God and to community. He wanted to be totally clean and not just healed, right? And so in our lives, sometimes maybe God is doing a work in us. Sometimes maybe God doesn't, you know, I was watching Eric, Joni Tanada, right? She has body issues, right, physically. And she was narrating her testimony about, yes, she did. She said, many times I went to healing services, a lot of times. There are people who loves me and love God, who asked me if it's okay for them to pray for healing for me. And I've asked that tremendously many times. And yet it seems that, yeah, she even said that, yeah, I even would still, you know, who wouldn't want to be healed by my physical infirmities? And yet she said that, you know, I've learned to accept my condition, but more importantly, I know that God has been dealing with my heart more than anything else. And so she said sometimes the quest for healing before was number one, but now I don't know. Maybe it's somewhere there in the, you know, 14, 15 of my priorities. But she's living life, even with the infirmities, glorifying God and praising God because of the healing and all the wonderful blessings that he has experienced through Christ. Amen. So very quickly, highlight of Jesus' actions, compassion of Jesus. I am willing. Hallelujah. And I think maybe for some of us today, it's words that we need to hear again. That Jesus is saying, I am willing. You can see here the compassion of Jesus. And it's also his ability to and authority to really heal us. And so it shows us the compassionate nature of Jesus. And this proves that it is God's pleasure and will to restore and make people whole. Amen. And so we thank God that this is the Savior that we love and serve, that God is most willing to do that for us. Now, I call this the touch because when you really just look at the passage, it's really the climax in the way in these short verses is really the touch of Jesus. But interestingly, did you know that there are a few iconic moments in sports history that are universally known by short and vivid names? So very quickly, the catch. There are actually two, right? The catch. That's why I said the touch. Right? The catch. If you follow NFL, right? Dwight Clark made a game-winning tiptoe touchdown catch from Joe Montana back in the end zone in the 1981 NFC Championship against the Dallas Cowboys. This play, as they call the catch, sealed the San Francisco 49ers' victory and launched their 1980s dynasty. But did you know that in baseball, there's also the catch by Willie Mays? He made an acrobatic over-the-shoulder catch of a deep fly ball hit by Vic Wertz in the 1954 World Series. His catch and subsequent throw prevented runs from scoring and helped the New York Giants win game one and eventually sweep the series. So NFL, even in baseball league, the catch. Now, in the NFL as well, it's the drive. Elton Elway started that drive, the 98-yard game-tying touchdown against the Cleveland Browns. The Broncos won in overtime, and the drive became synonymous with Elway's clutch performance in the Browns and the Browns' misfortune. Of course, we all know Michael Jordan, right? The shot. In basketball, Michael Jordan of the Chicago Bulls hit a series game-winning buzzer jump over Craig Elo. And interestingly, it was Craig Elo who actually scored just before that shot, giving the Cleveland Cavaliers the lead. And yet, in the 1981 NBA first-round playoffs, it was the first playoff win of Jordan's career as well. And, you know, basketball fans celebrate that. The shot, the touch. Hallelujah. when we think about Jesus and what he did to the leper, it was, I believe, the touch that rang throughout all of Jerusalem, Judea, Galilee, and Galilee. The touch that challenged even religious authorities. The touch that broke societal norms. The touch that reminded all of us that God is not distant. Amen? I know, I think in the 90s there was a song, From a Distance, right? Like that, like God is from a distance. But of course now we're celebrating Emmanuel, God with us. Amen? So I don't know about you, maybe some of you feels that God is distant. And sometimes he can be, depending on where we are in our seasons of life. But know that God is always with you. He might not sometimes feel that way, but he's always there. Amen? God in Jesus knows the suffering and the mess that human beings are. And so whatever, you know, suffering, whatever, you know, challenges that you're going through in life, God knows your need. Healing power. Instant healing. When Jesus said, I am willing, he touched the leper, bam, instant healing. The power and authority of Jesus displayed. Now, interestingly here, we can also learn that there was a divine timing. Some theologians will call them the messianic secret. Remember when the leper was instantly healed? It's interesting, right? Because Jesus said, don't tell anyone. Right, and so some of us might even, what is Jesus? What's happening here, right? But of course, now we know that even in the Gospel of John, usually John would use this phrase, his time has not yet come, right? And so we're talking about here the divine timing. It was not yet Jesus' time to reveal himself to the world. Slowly but surely. Of course, we can also possibly, you know, assume that because there are, you know, the religious leaders are waiting just to pounce on him, you know, when he makes a mistake or whatever. Of course, Jesus will not make a mistake because he is the perfect Son of God, right? But we're talking about divine timing. So in Matthew 8, see that you don't tell anyone. In Matthew, in fact, in several instances, it's still early, right? At least in the book of Matthew. In chapter 9, chapter 12, and chapter 16 and 17, Jesus would tell those that he has healed to not tell anyone, right? And of course, going from 18 and down, of course, we talk about the passion of Jesus and in Jesus' death and resurrection, but that will be later on. So this refers again to the messianic secret, and this is in a way to tell us the progressive nature of Jesus' ministry as the Messiah. So slowly he was revealing himself. But more importantly, at least in this instance, Jesus is showing us that he fulfills the law. That he is not here. Remember, Jesus said, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill them. And so in this way, he's actually giving a lifeline to the leper, because if God would just heal him instantly, people might not always believe or you know what happened. But see, he goes through Leviticus 14. Amen? Because there's a process. If you have been healed, it is actually the priest who will tell you that you've been healed. So in a way, it's Jesus who healed, but he gives the credit to the priest. Right? It was actually, I think, Benjamin Franklin who once said that God heals us, but it's the doctor who gets the fees. God heals us, but it is the doctor who gets the fees. Right? So here, and the fulfillment of the law is important. Okay, very quickly, we're almost done. Now, chapter 8, verse 4, and this is the last verse. It says, then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift of Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now, I don't want to bore you with so much detail here, but you can refer to Leviticus 14. But again, what Jesus is actually trying to say here, that there's a specific, you know, in Leviticus and in the Old Testament, there's so many things that they need to do. That's why, hallelujah, right? Jesus became the perfect sacrifice. Amen? Just one sacrifice to end all sacrifices. Because in the Old Testament, there's so many sacrifices that a person has to do. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful that today We only have to put our faith in Jesus because he has become our one great sacrifice. And when you read that in the book of Hebrews, explains that very clearly, that Jesus' sacrifice is far superior than the old, far superior than any other sacrifices. But here, at least in Leviticus 14, that's why now you will appreciate that Jesus is saying, I have come to fulfill the law. Hey guys, you don't need to offer these sacrifices anymore. I have done it through the cross. Right? So there's many regulations here. In fact, elements of the gift, very quickly, initial ritual, you need to do this, right? Wow, you need to take 2 living birds, cedar wood, scarlet yarn, hyssop. 1 bird is killed over running water. Very, very specific, right? Its blood is collected and materials. And so again, there's a lot of blood involved. Remember, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. That's why the one shed blood of Jesus on the cross is for the forgiveness of the sins of the world. There's even an 8-day offering. On the 8th day, the healed person must do this, several sacrifices to the priest. Look at this. A male lamb, a sin offering, a burnt offering, a grain offering, and oil. Wow. Right? And a lot of these offerings the fact that Jesus asked the leper to go to the priest tells us that he did not look at the law as bad, that he did not come to abolish but to fulfill it. What has become a burden to man, Jesus took upon himself, right? And of course, very important is the atonement. Once a year, the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the sins of all Israel. Jesus became the one sacrifice of atonement for all the sins of the world, right? To sacrifice once and for all. Hallelujah. And so after the sacrifices, the priest would apply oil from the remaining offerings to the person's right ear, right thumb, and right big toe to indicate complete cleansing. But of course, by then, we already know that he has already been healed by Jesus, right? But to give a proof and seal of approval and says, you have been healed. So that, see, Jesus was very compassionate to know that, hey, the leper needs this. So that when the priest tells him and the community that he is healed, then he can rejoin the community. And he is not an outcast anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so the importance of the gift, public witness. The whole ritual serves a public testimony. So people will know that this leper has been clean. Restoration. He is now, because clean will be restored. And this is the key, that the gifts in Leviticus 14 is a key component. That he can now go back and he can now worship God in the temple. He can now go to the community. And of course, as we have mentioned, the fulfillment of the law. Amen. So Jesus' directive meant that he respected the Mosaic law by having the leper follow the prescribed ritual, which included offering a sacrifice for his cleansing. And of course, the last is the validation of the miracle, that truly healing has indeed taken place. By going to the priest, the leper represented the religious authorities with a proof of healing, which serves as an official testimony to the community that Jesus' ministry was real and authentic. And so in this way, actually, it infuriated the religious leaders, right? Because then imagine when maybe, although it's not said in the text, so when the priest said, who healed you, right? Or how did this healing happen? Can you imagine if the leper said, oh, Jesus healed me. Ooh, right? And of course, later on, this will become a complication to the religious leaders. Because they're saying, oh, this Jesus guy, he's becoming very popular, but he's doing all these things, and they're now feeling insecure. And so you can see also, it's very sad, but the religious leaders of the day, were not on Jesus' side. But of course, we know that there's a few persons here and there in the Gospels that were also really interested to know who Jesus was. Amen? So the importance of the gift is very important as well. So you can see here the compassion. Jesus does not just heal, but he understands the situation of the people. And brothers and sisters and friends, it's also important for us to understand this. That number one, that Jesus is willing. Amen. And if he wills, he can. But he also understands that, hey, it's not just physical healing that we need, but he understands also what is going on with our very lives and in our hearts. And so, finally, Jesus, of course, demonstrates his power. Amen? Can we all read this together? Jesus is the Messiah who heals. And so, this passage is very clear and very simple and yet profound. And Matthew is telling all of us that, hey, you know what? This Messiah is the one who heals. And that is why this Messiah, the concluding statement, actually spoke again to the fulfillment of Isaiah 53 verse 4. That's why in chapter 8, remember this whole four people, the four groups of people, started with the leper. In that last verse, in verse 17, before it launches to other, you know, of course there will be other healings. But this is what Matthew said. This was to fulfill. Let's read this together, guys. Go. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. You see what Matthew is doing? This is Jesus the healer. And you know what? The Messiah is a healer. Because in Isaiah, that's part of the prophecy of the Messiah that will come. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. Amen? Now, let me end with this. Now, as the Alliance, we know the fourfold gospel, right? Yes? In the Alliance Church, this is important, right? You have the cross, and then you have the baptismal font, and then the pitcher, and then, of course, the crown. Now, the term fourfold gospel describes the historic emphasis of the Christian Missionary Alliance on the person of Jesus Christ. Christ our Savior, amen. We believe in Christ our Savior, Christ our Sanctifier, Christ our Healer, amen. And Christ our Coming King. And so the picture there in the symbol of our logo, the picture actually symbolizes Christ our Healer. It uses the symbol of oil for divine life and physical healing. Amen. Jesus is truly the healer. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your precious words today. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us, Lord, that truly you are the healer and you are the Messiah. Lord, if there's any one of us here, Lord, that needs healing, Lord, if you so will, we know, Lord, that you're compassionate. Lord, we pray for your healing. Maybe for some of us, Lord, we need more spiritual healing. And we pray, Lord, that you would just touch us, Lord, with your healing touch. We pray, Lord, that you would make breakthroughs and inroads into our lives, that we might love you more, know you more, and serve you more. In Jesus' name we pray.